completely skewed on this. He's not. I mean, he's expressing, I think, a legitimate concern. Matisse, however, knew this whole situation before he moved in. I mean, the people didn't move in on Matisse. Matisse moved in on the people. The Cathcart and Pacific had been dispersed before Matisse came into his own there. So he kind of knew what he was getting into. And he also, he has not worked on other solutions like mediation. He's gone along with this whole gentrification program. So, well, what do you think? Here's another caller. Hi there, you're on Free Radio.
Hey, I'm on the air.
You are on the air.
Hey, this is Jug Band Jeff, the Fiddler.
Uh-oh.
And I really am so tired of hearing people whining about how financially desperate Selman is, because I don't think any of these people have ever seen any audited financial reports. And in all fairness, if everybody is going to plead poverty, then let's get some facts.
That's a good point. I mean, I don't know what it is. I do know that I've asked him to discuss how much more he has to pay to the city, and I think it's actually a public figure, and I can get those documents, and I haven't yet quite gotten them. Actually, I figure that, to see how much more the city is getting paid now that Matisse and Ali Kahl have certainly a significant amount more of space than they had by taking over the central area between the two kiosks on Pacific Avenue. But I haven't really gotten a straight answer. And, you know, if Matisse, who often listens to the show, you're welcome to call in and discuss this issue if you have some facts to give that might clarify it. I mean, I think Matisse has had some problems, economically in expanding. Again, as I said, I know his Capitola store didn't make it, as far as I know. I think that's right. I could be wrong about that, but I think it's no longer...
You know, sometimes these things are a tax write-off for these guys.
You know, I mean, I don't know. You know, I frankly...
And that's his own personal business. However, yeah. if people are going to interject into the public debate, pleading poverty for this, you know, this poor, struggling businessman who can barely make ends meet, let's see the facts. You know, otherwise they have to really not use that argument.
Well, and also I know that there are other concerns too. Like I've talked to Dennis Adams of the Potter's Wheel, the fellow who provides the great food on Sundays down in front of. Near the Cinema 9.
Yeah, down where the jamming spot is.
And he was really kind of outraged and upset that this fencing off happened without any real public discussion or debate, and that's another issue. There was no real public process. This was a done deal before you could snap your fingers. Because he feels that there are places where, this is where young people could come together and, you know, there's a sort of a support system for them that is essentially being broken up by this activity. It's their own self-engendered support system, and yeah, there's some drug dealing, yeah. You know, and yeah, there's...
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, but they use that in the debate, too, and I think that's a red herring.
Yeah, well, I think that happens all over the mall.
Exactly.
And I think the whole drug war nonsense is preposterous, and you know, that needs other kinds of solutions than... It's a sort of a thing you use to go after a particular area without...
Right, where there's people, there's always going to be potheads and whatnot.
Right, I mean... And if you talk about Matisse struggling, there are a lot of kids who are struggling on the streets who, you know, and some people sell small quantities of marijuana. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time justifying that, mainly because I don't really have the stats and figures to make intelligent and knowledgeable
right,
arguments.
It's actually irrelevant.
It probably is relevant, but I don't have the figures on it, so I can't really speak on it intelligently. But, appreciate your calling, caller. Any other thoughts?
Well, I mean, except that so many of these people that are sticking up for this supposedly poor, struggling businessman, they missed really the essential point, which is the whole purpose of the giveaway, and that's really what it is. It's a giveaway of public land on a below market lease. The whole purpose was really social engineering, and people conveniently avoid that aspect of the debate.
Yeah, it's a form of social cleansing, getting rid of a class of people that they don't want there, and you see it in terms of a crackdown up and down the mall against street musicians and others, and it's a mentality. I was reading about it in Arcata earlier in the show. It's an attack on, undesirable transient elements as some more well-established people see it.
By the way, I just read the complaint in your lawsuit.
In my lawsuit? Oh,
yes.
You mean the one at City Council?
Yes.
Ah, well, that's a whole another kettle of fish. Yeah, that's the lawsuit, for those who don't know, where the City Council's been repressing critics at the public mic.
I think they're trying to get ready for tourist season by kind of imposing the power of the state and letting everybody know that even though we have some prerogatives and quote-unquote what they call privileges, what I call rights, that they're reminding us that the state can all, the hand that giveth is the hand that taketh away.
hopefully the people will do a little slapping around with their hands at this point, too.
Well, people have to resist.
Yeah.
You know, basically.
Definitely.
You know, Cosmic Chris got a citation for the mere act of playing his guitar because he was underneath an awning, and the business had a no trespassing sign way off in the corner, and the business wasn't even open. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's almost getting into like a Gestapo thing where the police could come along at any given time and just arbitrarily at random pick people out and write them up. And hey, I mean, you know, those tickets can, they can break you.
Well, you know, that's been the standard in Santa Cruz for a long time and in many other cities. And to be straightforward about it, we need to find a way to combat that, whether through either busker's union or street performers guidelines or more active
I think litigation is
street watch stuff. You know, or litigation, yeah.
Also, I'd like to clear the air, too, because I think it's widely perceived that by suggesting that I was at city council and I asked the mayor and council to consider appropriating money to Chief Belcher, actually, you know, to the police department for training their officers on so they could be consistent and not violate our First Amendment rights. And the reason I did that was to lay a foundation so that if we do have to litigate, that part of the factual record is that the city's on notice that there is sporadic, differential enforcement. It's confusion. I've had police officers, I'm not going to mention any officers' names on the air, but I've had officers give me flatly incorrect information.
Like what?
Well, they were trying to apply the aggressive panhandling ordinance automatically to any and all musicians and leafleters. And, you know, people who are exercising First Amendment protected speech, or people who are just simply entertainers, period. Which probably is First Amendment protected anyway. Okay, those people are not aggressive panhandlers. Okay,
right.
Like an aggressive panhandler, somebody comes up to you and they're drunk and stoned, and they say, "Give me some money," and they do nothing for you. Okay, that's not what, you know, political leafleters are trying to get an important message out. They believe it's part of our civil society. Okay, and street musicians are providing you with a free service. It's not even really a service, but it's something beyond that. It's actually it's an expressive activity, but they're providing it free. And if you want to make a voluntary contribution to that musician, you're entitled to do so.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not aggressive panhandling. Okay, and that's what the officer was trying to tell me. And he's trying to tell me that it was illegal for any person to stand within 10 feet of a building. You know he gets that from the aggressive panhandling ordinance. Okay, so according to this officer, basically, if a middle-class couple is window shopping, he can ticket them. This was a police officer who told me.
Oh, yeah, there's been a whole series of bits of misinformation coming out, I mean, regarding the right, for example, to hold up a sign. People were told recently they couldn't hold up a sign after dark, which, of course, isn't true. You could hold up a sign 24 hours a day. They're told you can't hold up a sign within 50 feet of an ATM. That's not true. You can't sit down.
Well, that's the aggressive panhandling section.
You can't sit down within 50 feet, but you can hold up a sign. I mean, you know, the hosts, hospitality guides, whose office is next to the Del Mar Theater should have the specifics of this and be educating the police and the hosts.
I don't really blame the patrol officers either. It's the question of that the department needs to provide the training. And so, just to underscore my whole
point. I blame them. This ordinance has been around for 7 or 8 years.
I only blame them if they start writing.
Right. Well, they've been doing that. They've done that, I would say, with sufficient... oh, gosh. Well, it's been happening with sufficient regularity throughout that period that I think that there has been no really strong, clear message. The laws themselves, of course, are very bad, and they have to be, you know, they if there were a real constitutional scrutiny, and we had a Supreme Court that respected the Constitution, I don't think they'd stand. I don't know. I mean, they might not even stand even under the current Rehnquist Court. But anyway, let me get back to the yuppie planner because we're in the middle of this tape. Is there anything more you want to say about that?
No, I want to hear the rest of this tape.
All right.
Go ahead, roll it.
Thanks.
And we return now to March 28th, Thursday evening, right before our show here, which is 6 to 8 on Thursdays, in case you've forgotten. And the situation at Cathcart, I should say, at the Pacific, in front of the New Leaf Market.
Or trespass, actually, is what he got to pick up.
Yeah, some things I think are a little ridiculous. I mean, every once in a while, you know, you see the police, you know, get a little... I shouldn't use the word anal, but that's what I think it is when, you know, about stuff. And I don't know, I think there's maybe too many rules, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know where you draw the line. You know, I don't know.
I appreciate that, and I understand. I used to eat here regularly. I like Matisse, and as you can see, we know each other. I mean,
I feel for everybody. I feel for the people here. I mean, I feel bad. I mean, I don't know. It's just, it makes it difficult for a business when people aren't respecting...
People power.
That works. You know, just when they're just not respecting the business. I guess if maybe it was a little more respected in the area of where the people are eating, nobody really wants to breathe cigarette smoke when they're,
no,
you know,
I agree with that.
It.
But
on
the other
difficult, you tell people and they go, they look at you kind of funny, like, you know, what are you doing? That
I know, Chop, because I can only give you a certain amount of time.
Exactly.
What's your name?
I'm Mike.
Mike, thank you. And anything you want to conclude with?
No, I'm all right. I'm just like, you know, I see both sides, you know, I feel for both. Matisse is a friend of mine, and I've become a friend. Just I've been coming here eating sushi for a while because I like good sushi, you know.
For the record, for my own legal benefit, you have not seen me trying to block his business here. I'm
no,
just talking.
No, I think
right.
You're just doing whatever, you know, you believe, and that's fine. Everybody has a right, you know, for freedom of speech and their beliefs and what they believe in, you know, and it's, I don't know, it's kind of hard. I mean, I really have a hard time with it. I want to help him, and I also want to help them, and it's kind of like, but what do you do?
You're kind of torn, Mike. You had something you wanted to say.
Yeah, I was wondering what happened to the petition I signed like 5 or 6 years ago to get part of the downtown strip blocked off to car traffic.
That pedestrian mall, I think, you know, a lot of people wanted that, and there's some concern about it. And if you want, you should, you know, you can still contact City Council, who is a pretty useless group, or you can begin the petitioning again. You know, what's your name?
I'm Andrew.
Thanks, Andrew. Anything else you want to say?
No, I could probably see where the lack of respect might have come in on,
Well, there's some criminals across the street with dogs on the mall. I think we got to watch out for that.
That is criminal, yes.
It's very criminal behavior, and, you know, I mean, it's... You know, we allow major obstructions on the mall for private businesses, but not dogs on the mall. I noticed that.
What do you think about the dogs, Robert? Are you going to be allowed to bring their dogs here?
Well, I would say everyone except this man, who is a known disreputable individual.
You know,
I've been down here. Any problems? Any hassles with police or hosts? Any comments?
No comments.
Okay. Thank you. How's everything going down here? Any problems?
No.
Cool. All right. No. Hey, how's it going? No problems from the two business owners? Oh, they're pretty mellow?
Pretty mellow.
Besides my hacky going inside his booth.
Oh, no.
But I apologize for that one. Told him I was sorry for it.
Well, you know, that can happen, and I appreciate his tolerance.
He wasn't too mad about it.
Okay. And here's a man sitting on the planter. What's happening here?
I happen to be in an act of civil disobedience because I want to sit here and eat my thing. And
actually, you're not even sitting at a table. You're sitting on a planter, and the planter is inside this fenced-off area. Is he saying he's calling the police?
Yeah.
Do you have your permission to talk about this in a loud fashion to the community? Because that's apparently it's important people know about it.
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah.
Here's the deal. I'm trying to get my probation dropped.
Right.
And I don't need a ticket, and so I'm going to move is what I'm going to do. And it sucks because this should be public property, and it's been privatized by these people. And, you know, I thought that because I'm friends with the guy from Sushi Now, he's always been cool to me, that it wouldn't be a problem. But Alibaba knows me from when I used to be homeless out here, and Alibaba apparently has some kind of a to-do with me.
So apparently being a friend of one of the business owners isn't
right.
Enough. You have to get the okay, the stamp of approval from both of them.
Right, I guess so. But what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go over there and try and talk to the guy from Sushi Now, see if I can enlist him as an ally in this thing. It's ridiculous that it's this big a deal. I'm just trying to eat a spring roll.
You aren't even sitting at a table. You're sitting off to the side. You bought your spring roll at New Leaf Market, looks like. So we have a case of Alibaba calling the police because a man was sitting on the planter inside the sacred zone, folks. Alibaba calling the police to keep people out of his sacred zone in the middle of the sidewalk. Sounds like the taking of public spaces to me. Hey Lee, what's the good word? Alibaba just called the police on this fellow over here for sitting on the planter inside the space.
The guy in the
jacket talking to Matisse.
I vaguely know him from summer.
Yeah, he's actually been hassled by police on other things, but it's interesting.
Why did he call for sitting in there without purchasing?
He was sitting in there, yep, eating something else, but apparently he's a friend of Matisse's, and he thought it was okay with Matisse, but apparently you have to get the royal approval from both people to be able to sit.
Well, I wasn't here to see what happened.
Right, well, that's what he told me. I saw Ollie come over and tell him to leave, and here he is talking to Matisse, trying to get some.
That's okay, so he's talking to Matisse. I still don't know what happened.
Right.
But
here comes Ollie again.
I don't know. I don't know. It's social political turmoil here. And what is what he's handing me?
Ali is now handing out yellow forms that you can give to the city council.
That one?
Thank you, Ali. So this is from a concerned citizen for a complaint form to the city council. Our postage is not paid, unfortunately. You got to put your own stamp on it.
Put your name, address, city, send it to city council.
Right, or file a complaint with the...
Please don't disturb my business. Thank you.
Certainly not, certainly not. Boycott Alibaba's Cafe and Sushi Now.
Movies are popular.
Sorry.
You hurt my feelings.
And not at all. It's not personal. Mr. Host, you're leaning against New Leaf Market. I assume people get tickets for this. Are you now engaging in civil disobedience?
He's walking away from the building. The downtown hospitality guide is leaving. Now, Mr. Butler, come back.
That was cruel.
So, the outcome of the incident where Alibaba threatened to call the police on this man who was simply trying to eat a roll he'd purchased at New Leaf.
I want to ask the cops what to do.
Apparently Matisse has said that you can do it later, but not now.
I really want to ask a police officer what the law is here. I mean, I'm not going to fight you on this because I just don't need a hassle about it. I don't really want a hassle about it. But I really am curious. If I see a cop around, I would like to know how it is that there's no customers. I'm not taking up, I wouldn't have done it if there was customers here, but there's no customers and all I wanted is to eat a spring roll. You know?
I understand. Just stay here and just call the cops. They're going to come and explain you everything.
Good.
And probably give you a citation, I'm sure. Oh, well, Ali is the master of citations. Hopefully not, though.
Are you allowed to sit over here?
Yes.
You are.
You are allowed to sit here. Provided the police like you, of course. The private shop owners are closing up shop and returning the area to public space again tonight, folks. At night, the public gets the area back, but during the day, you pay. That's the story here at Yuppie Planter. So we're talking to the man. You're actually waiting for the police to come in order to get some questions answered about your right to be in these spaces at what time and under what circumstances, right?
Yeah.
But Ali Baba threatened initially because you were sitting not at a table, but you were sitting in an area vacant of all people along the planter there, where previously people had been allowed to sit. But you came up with a kind of a wholly different sense. When you originally approached this area today, you had a sense of actually you liked the tables being here. You thought that this was an area that it was nice that it was sort of set off. You previously thought that maybe the people here were, you know, engaging in rude and offensive behavior, and it was a nice corrective measure. Was that your thought?
Well, here's what I'm saying. I've seen a lot of people being disrespectful, being drunk, pulling up plants, and I really didn't like that behavior. And I thought that if this space was open for seating, that would be a good thing. But at the point at which I, in the most polite way that I could think of, just went over and sat down to eat some food and was told I couldn't sit there, so then I moved to the planter, which I assumed was public space. Obviously the tables are not, but I moved to the planter. Now I was told by Alibaba that the entire space has been privatized and that it's been rented. So the city unanimously rented out a space to these two businesses.
The council, not the city, that's for sure.
And so at which point my response is that to privatize a space simply for the purpose of driving away one section of the population, which then gets applied to me to drive me away when I'm not being disrespectful, I'm not being drunk, I'm not selling drugs, I don't do drugs, and I'm not pulling up plants, I'm just trying to sit down and eat a spring roll, which I happen to buy from New Leaf, and theoretically, if they had received some money from New Leaf, then that would be one of the okay businesses, but apparently New Leaf didn't pay any money, and I'm just saying that my first reaction was, hey, this is great, because now I get to sit down. Now it turns out, I don't even get to sit down unless I buy the item from one of the businesses that rented the space, even if I'm sitting on something that last time I was in this town was public space.
And also, that's not entirely true, because if you're a friend of Matisse's or Alibaba's, and you sit down there, they're not going to object to your sitting there. It's their private bedroom, their private living room now. They can do whatever they want with this space, and they can exclude the entire public from it.
Actually, to be quite honest with you, the reason I thought that I would get away with it, is that I considered myself, and I still do consider myself, to be a friend of Matisse's. I like Matisse, I think he's a nice person. But he admitted to me that the reason why this was done was in order to drive away the undesirables, and I tried to explain to him that in a major city, for instance, say some section of New York, if there's quote-unquote undesirable people, they don't close an entire section of New York down simply to drive away a slice of life of the populace. What they do is they target the people that are offending. They cite the people that are spinning, they cite the people that are selling drugs, they cite the people that are drunk and belligerent, they cite the people that are destroying the property. They don't unilaterally drive away all portions of society except those that patronize those businesses. And if it had been directly in front of their businesses, I could see that. Beats of My Heart has a place in front of their space, and these businesses used to have a space in front of their business, and they could have privatized the space directly in front of their businesses. This was done for the purpose of control of a portion of the populace, and it's now being unilaterally applied to me, and I don't appreciate that, and I don't like the section of the populace that it was intended to drive away, but this is un-American.
Well, if you get yourself a suit and tie, a credit card, and, you know, maybe some nicer tennis shoes. Those look like pretty nice tennis shoes, actually.
Robert, you're pretty
clean cut, you know.
I got these at Ross Dress for Less, and they were $25, so don't go assuming that just because I'm wearing name brands, these are seconds. Everything I'm wearing is seconds, so.
Well, I'm afraid you're just second rate then, sir. At least according to Alibaba and Matisse Selman, in terms of your right to sit in this area. It's actually, I think they're wrong about it. I think if you took it to court, if you went and sat down on the sidewalk there or on the planter and stayed there for an arrest and took it through to court, you might find a different situation. But you might not, and I couldn't guarantee it. So thank you for the update. I'm going to be playing this on free radio. You want to say who you are?
You know, Robert,
that's okay. You don't have to.
Who I am is really not important. I'm a voice whispering on the wind, crying out for justice, for truth, and for the American way.
Dun, ta-da, dun, ta-da, ta-da. Thank you. Lee, you've also been victimized by Ali Kha, as has Linda LeMaster recently, and other people, with citations from the police at Ali, citizens' complaints and then citations. And then these citations, they declined to file. What do you make of this?
I've already discussed the case previously, but what I want to discuss today is attempts at social engineering by creating bogus statistics and using them to create scenarios. One night as well, Butch Baker, the supervising sergeant, was down here with a digital camera hooked up to his radio unit on his police car. He was transmitting pictures of what was going on down here one evening.
How long ago?
About 3 or 4 months. Just before the winter broke good and hard. And I walked around the corner by Taco Vallarta on Cathcart Street, just on my way around, and there was another police car parked around the corner with a guy that looked not like a cop, but more like a director, and he was talking into a handy talkie. I do believe he was directing the cuts and what for him to
walk
observe
me to the car.
And what to observe and such things. I do believe they're using these as presentations, so to speak, to train and to present a single-sided view of an issue that is endemic to Santa Cruz for the last 25 years I've been here.
Thank you, Lee.
You're welcome.
You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, interviews from 3 or 4 days ago at Yuppie Planter. But just to show you that it's not all gloom, doom, and rage at Yuppie Planter, here's an interview that happened the next day.
Well, it is March 29, 2002. Here is a man playing a guitar, sitting down, leaning against a sleeping bag with a hat out, seeking for the occasional donation. Let's see if we can tune in on this music here.
the Pacific Cookie Company here as the afternoon deepens, a Friday afternoon, and good luck with the guitar playing. I see you have a, looks like a pet, is that a hamster or a mouse?
It's a rat.
It's a rat. What's the rat's name?
Spike.
And you are here seated comfortably on the Planter of Pacific Avenue on the public side, the, should we say, the community side of Yuppie Planter. I know that the other day I saw police officers, and one car is parked over there right now, hassling folks who were somewhat just up the street from you, sitting on the public side of the Planter. How have you been doing today?
They haven't hassled me.
Excellent. So you have all, you have a boombox, you have a skateboard with you, you know, and you're also dressed in the dreaded gothic black. And you have on some rather hefty earrings. Does this mean that you are likely to attack us?
No.
Any comments about how things are going down here? I know you predicted that there would be a new gathering place that would happen after this place was privatized, but what's been your latest analysis?
That nobody else seems to care, so who cares?
I see.
You know, the cops have stopped hassling us as much because we're keeping out of their hair as much, so, you know.
Less complaints from Matisse Selman and Alibaba?
Yeah. Well, no, more complaints that we've got. No, we've got more complaints about what's going on with their area because, yeah, we'll admit, we used to have a garbage problem. We used to have problems with littering. There's been many times I've walked over here after they've closed down at night, and there's all kinds of, like, empty chopstick wrappers and napkins from both their shops. You know, garbage is happening because of their customers, and their customers aren't giving a crap what happens. And then we, of course, still get blamed for that.
Well, you're obviously guilty. You're producing a bad atmosphere. If you weren't here, they'd be much more fastidious.
Yeah, right.
Now, what's the story here? I noticed, well, you've got three tables with customers, a total of seven customers, and it looks like they're a total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9, maybe. I count 9, and maybe 15 or 20 chairs. What is it ever filled up? Is it usually half filled? What's the situation?
I've never seen more than maybe 10, 12 people in there at a time, and there's a capable of seating, what, like 32, 36? So most of the time it's not even half full.
And previously you had, oh, what, 3 or 4 tables around Alibaba's cafe?
And 3 or 4 around Sushi Now, and then all this area was all open.
Right, it used to be unblocked, and there was no congestion problem, and it was a public space. Well, some claimed that they didn't feel welcome in this space. Some claimed there were hacky sack problems. Some claims there was occasional harassment by some folks and some drug dealing. But again, this is Pacific Avenue, and we're not talking about Capitola or Carmel.
Yeah, I agree completely. You know, and half the harassment I've realized is because of certain idiots, certain local youngsters that come around and they run their mouths and try it. They're the ones that actually come down here and cause problems with us. They want to come down here and get stupid and try and hurt us and our friends and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, you're going to cause problems. You want to do stupid crap like that to us.
Are they still doing this bicycle trap where bikes go the wrong way? They're doing a lot of ticketing of bicyclists?
I'm not seeing them ticketing as much, but they are giving warnings.
Warnings is okay.
Yeah, they're being pretty decent about most things.
And how about Sergeant Baker and Officer Klein, I guess it was Sergeant McPhillips who got some notoriety for hassling street musicians up here, like Cosmic Chris?
I don't know nothing about that. I hear nothing about that. I've never seen Klein harass anybody. Klein's actually been one of the few officers around here I've never had problems with. He's always been, you know, a human to me and spoke to me like another human being. I've never really had big problems with any of the officers.
Well, there you have it. Who says we don't present a positive perspective on positive elements of the police department?
Well, you know, if the officers are doing their job properly, you know, and they're taking care of somebody that's actually committing crimes, not somebody that's sitting on a rail or, you know, spit on the sidewalk or something, if they're actually dealing with somebody that's doing something that should be dealt with, and that person should be, you know, incarcerated or stopped,
well,
or whatever they're doing
against this rail. Looks like a pretty serious offense here. Officer, over here.
If they're doing things that, you know, is definitely against the law and is things of putting themselves, the officers, and other people at risk and in danger, then do your job. Good for you. Thank you for being here. You know, but if it's just harassment crap, go the hell away. Straight up.
Thank you, sir.
Yep, thank you.
Alarm goes off at 7, and you start uptown. always been poor. I keep asking God what I'm for, and he tells me, gee, I'm not sure. Sweep that floor, kiddo. I started life as an orphan, a child of the street, here on Skid Row. He took me in, gave me shelter, a bed, crust of bread, and a job. Treats me like dirt, calls me a slob, which I am. I constantly pray I'll get out of here. Please won't somebody say I'll get out of here. Someone give me my shot or I'll rot here. Show me how and I will. I'll get out of here. I'll start climbing uphill and get out of here. Someone tell me I feel and get out of here.
Is there a way out of Santa Cruz? That's the question. Well, that was from the stage version of Little Shop of Horrors. And before that, we had our own Little Shops of Horrors downtown, which actually they sell tasty food to those who have money and take public space away from those who don't. That's downtown. It's Free Radio Santa Cruz. You're tuned to 96.3 FM. I'm Robert Norris. This is Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. My sides are coming at you broadly, so to speak. And the phone number to call if you want to fire back at me is 427-3772. 427-3772. Area code is 831. If you're out of the area, 831-427-3772. And in accord with our all-new, up-to-date, we tell you what we're doing in advance program here. We now turn to the Yes, Make a Federal Case Out of It segment of the program. Discussions and updates on the March 12th arrest when they hauled me off for my silent Heil Krone salute to the council and to the Fuhrer, I mean the mayor, following his cutting back oral communications to not only to 2 minutes per speaker, but actually cutting off speakers at the end of the period before the period was up, eliminating Susan Zeman. I was hauled off the jail. And then, 2 weeks later, filed a lawsuit in federal court. That was at the last city council meeting, which we actually played some stuff from at the last show. And you can actually catch video clips of this and audio sound. If you want to tune in to the web, you can go to www.santacruz.indymedia.org. Again, www.santacruz, small letters, one word, .indymedia, I-N-D-Y-M-E-D-I-A, indymedia.org. And you'll catch both the infamous Heil Krone gesture of March 12th and the subsequent lawsuit where James Nay so colorfully and boldly and actually fearlessly delivered the lawsuit as attorney and council member Keith Sugar, dare we call him Shyster Sugar, I don't know, repeatedly tried to interrupt James Nay with a point of order, and Nay, because of his refusal to give up his oral communications time, he explained afterward, it's my 2 minutes, he was ordered out of the room by Mayor Krone and essentially told Mayor Krone that he wasn't leaving the room, but please continue with the meeting. And Krone kept demanding he leave, but then Krone decided it was not a time to do another public arrest for essentially not jumping when the city council snap their fingers, which of course really isn't the responsibility of the Santa Cruz community. In fact, one would think the opposite should be happening, that when the Santa Cruz community presents its concerns to the city council, they're the ones who should be doing the jumping, or at least responding in some way. But there actually is even, there's no process for putting up items on the city council agenda if you're a private citizen, short of getting 3,000 signatures on an initiative and waiting for an election, or palling up to a city council member and getting her or him to do that. And of course, they usually, on homeless civil rights issues, they will tell you one thing and then they will do exactly the opposite. That seems to have been the unfortunate pattern and practice of the city council when they're not repressing activists who protest about that, of course. So now that really is kind of leads us into the next segment of the show here in Santa Cruz. And I think this is probably relevant to folks who are listening in from other cities, if any of you are out there. And if you want to give us a call, I'd love to hear from any other cities. Because I think it's happening in other cities, too, where city councils are being unresponsive to their constituents, particularly around poor and homeless people. This could be, could this be New York City calling in?
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert.
Are you calling from New York City?
Huh?
Probably not. Go ahead, Ed.
You know, well, that last Tuesday was real strange. It was almost surreal. It reminded me of that Justice for All.
Ed, we're having trouble hearing you. I can hear about every fourth word.
Can you hear me?
I can hear that. Go ahead.
Yeah, the cellular one. That city council meeting this last Tuesday was almost surreal. It was strange.
Uh-huh.
And it reminded me of when Crone went berserk.
When was that?
Tuesday.
Oh, you mean when... Now, the Tuesday meeting reminded you of...
It was surreal. It reminded me of the Al Pacino movie, And Justice for All.
Oh, yeah.
You recall that movie where the judge says, "Counselor, you're out of order," and the good counselor says, "I'm out of order. You're out of order. This whole fucking court is out of order."
Exactly, yeah.
And it was so strange, like power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts, absolutely. It was so strange how people like those people, they can forget where they come from. And I detected, you know, call me paranoid, proud of it, thank you very much for the compliment. Mm-hmm. But I detected like a contempt for the people out in the audience.
No.
From all of them.
Not among our city council, surely, Ed.
That's, if I'm any judge of perception whatsoever, I just discovered like a disdain, looking down one's nose at the scum. It was just like surreal, like I said, it was strange. And I just thought, look what happens to people who gain a little bit of power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's also a class issue, too, but I think you're right. I think the city council gets into this position. Whoever joins up tends to get... one size fits all. You get sort of deformed by the office itself. I mean, there are some people who really liked Christopher Crone, had a lot of hope for him. Even Keith Sugar, when his initial actions were very strong in terms of trying to end the sleeping ban, and subsequent to that, he not only became bad on, both of them became bad on those issues, but they became very repressive toward those who tried to call them on it. And you know, we've had lawsuits barring us from city council offices. I've had repeated exclusions, not just rudeness, but, you know, direct violations of the right of the public to engage in public comment at city council during the appropriate times. We've had a whole series of, you know, essentially restrictions of the First Amendment at the whim of the city council, that kind of looking down your nose thing you're talking about.
I literally observed something where it was kind of like next week. Race and the meeting was just about to begin, and I don't see them. They were thumbing their noses, and maybe it's just a coincidence, right? But it's like it was very strange. You mentioned it might be a class issue, and I'd go with that too. You know, there's a little bit of that intermingled in there also.
Mm-hmm.
They just forget where they come from. It's a terrible thing. I find it to myself sometimes. I forget where I came from. You know.
Yeah, although, frankly, none of these people came from the streets, and none of them really came from the lower class anyway, but still, you know, some of them were once activists. I mean, Byers and Rotkin were activists, you know.
How could they
Kennedy,
live with themselves?
You know, well, they came to the conclusion that when you get into positions of power, you have to make certain compromises in order to get to certain places, or they change their perception about the importance of certain issues. I mean, that there was a time when Kennedy was a very strong opponent, not just of the sleeping ban, but the entire camping ordinance. Now, he's a supporter of the sleeping ban. It's absurd on its face to support the sleeping ban sections of the camping ban, because homeless people have to sleep legally somewhere. You cannot have a law that arrests and puts, you know, 95% of the population in a criminal status every night and call it any kind of justice or fairness or civilization. It's just ridiculous. Yet Kennedy, the co-founder of the Resource Center for Nonviolence, supports that law. You know.
Oh, my goodness. He was a co-founder.
Yes, sir.
Oh, boy.
I believe so. I believe so.
Gosh. Yeah, I detected a coldness in the women.
Sorry?
I detected a coldness in the three women there. Like a meanness. They were all like, it was like surreal.
Which women are you talking about?
Huh?
Which women?
In the city council.
There's only one woman on the city council. Emily Riley.
I saw two of them.
Well, you're probably thinking of the city clerk, Leslie Cook, and the assistant city clerk, Lori. Yeah,
ignorance.
Yeah, they tend to swim with the city council. They're all in the same pack, but they're a different. You know, they're staff members, and they're not elected. Actually, they in their way are more powerful than the city council. They're not so much those women as the two men on the other side. City manager Dick Wilson, who I call city manager.
Is that the real cold looking man?
He's the fellow who's always very impeccably dressed. He's kind of thin. And the other fellow that was always reading the magazine is John Barisoni, the city attorney. These we're talking about, for those who are tuning in, the folks sitting on the city council dais every 2 weeks when the city council meets.
Yeah, I kind of thought I recognized Barisoni. It's been so many years. I used to work for them years ago, gardening. Yeah, strange. It was just strange. I just thought it's sad, you know, how people can just kind of like, you know, like I said, you know, forget where they came from and be holier than thou and up there with all that power. And I literally, it was just like thumbing their noses and looks of disdain and contempt, you know, it's just strange.
Take it. Well, thank you, Ed.
Thanks, Robert.
All righty.
Take care.
Bye-bye. And phone lines are open here on Bathrobe's Pier's Broadsides at 427-3772, 427-3772 if you want to call in. And it's 96.3 FM you're listening to, in case you just tuned in and wondered what the heck is going on here in Santa Cruz on the radio. And it's us, so we're going on. Yeah, talking a bit about that city council meeting and about what can you do at the forthcoming city council meetings if, you know, the city council treats you not just badly in the sense that it ignores your issues, or in the sense that it passes legislation that is helpful for large developers or for a certain special interest, but doesn't really address the pressing concerns like we've heard about on the air today, a downtown plaza, obviously, right to sleep legally somewhere. Rent control is an issue we haven't talked about, but that often comes up. What happens if actually the council cuts into your own time and directs you to go sit down? You know, I mean, and you want to say, wait a minute, my time isn't up, because you have your watch with you, you've been keeping time, because, you know, you're aware that you have, according to the printed agenda, you have certain amount of time available. What do? You just have to go back to your seat and sit down and shut up? Well, that's really kind of one of the questions I'm grappling with, and I answer that question. I was told to leave the room after having briefly given a symbol of very strong disagreement with the chair, the Heil Krone salute, briefly. And I just decided I couldn't do that. That it would be wrong, not just for me, for my own interest to leave the room, but it would be wrong for other people. And it would be not just intimidating for me in the future, but it would intimidate other people. So I decided I would simply stay. And they then took the next move, which was arresting me. And it's still not clear, by the way, whether I'm actually going to be prosecuted. As of 3 or 4 days,